from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sidney McLaughlin is clearly ahead of Fenkerbowl. I'm going to give you a time to watch. 50.65 is the existing world record. Nobody has ever won 2 gold medals in this event, let alone back-to-back. Sidney McLaughlin LeBroni. It's a world record and back-to-back gold for Team USA.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Booker, James.
In a pick and roll.
Oh, Curry for the lead. Oh, kaboom!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Out to right field, and he gets on past Belaid. Riley is in. A Rosarena blitz run and anchor. He's on his way home. The Mariners win it. They walk it off in the ninth inning. This man does it again. Mitch Haniger.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague, a Portland sports leader. 1080 The Fan. Happy Friday. Good morning.
What is happening?
Your coffee boys are here, injected into your veins.
Ready to roll, baby.
Feeling good. I was told the other day by my 12-year-old, she doesn't listen to this show. She's not up 90% of the show.
No, this show sucks. Why would she want to listen anyways, you know?
She asked if the hype horn, if it's true that I have a pre-recorded one that I touch a button on now, or if I use the actual hype horn. And I said, yeah, it broke. And she said, that's pathetic. So I'm ordering a new hype horn.
Not as authentic. She wants the real thing, even though she's not up at 6 o'clock in the morning to hear the segment. The listeners demand the authentic thing.
She wants
the knockoff version.
It's the same sound over and over again. The hype horn has to have different feels to it. And I said, oh, okay, all right, great.
Different rhythms, different beats. How many times are you going to press it? We also fall into the trap that we forget every time we have a different open and a different song is playing that you can hear the song in the background of the hype horn drop.
Yeah,
you can. And so it puts a little bit of the Joker and the Thief into it with a different song playing, and it's very weird and very uncomfortable.
It is.
It's like having one of those, like, you want a jersey, and you get one of those, like, knockoff Chinese jerseys, you know? It's not authentic, man. Yeah, give me the $249.99 jersey, all right? I want that one.
I don't want to say anything to offend anybody, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Uh-oh.
So offending people be damned. I'm not kidding when I'm telling you this, okay? I'm not trying to exaggerate for the radio.
I'm very offended.
I think yesterday might have been the most American pride happiness I've ever had in my adult life.
That was the peak for you of American pride.
I was thinking about this because
Silver in the steeplechase did it for you.
That really did it for me.
The skeet shooting bronze medal, that
silver
got you over
and
the
bronze in the 200. That really did it for
Nelly
me.
Corda quadrupling 7:16.
No, I was thinking about this at the end of that game. I don't know if I've ever felt whatever it is, these Patriot bros that put flags in their bios and flags are flapping in the back of their big-ass trucks.
Sure.
And I don't know if I've ever felt it.
Mm.
Like, how do you describe patriotism personally? I don't know how anybody defines that for themselves, but I think I found my definition yesterday afternoon.
Now, just through sports are we talking, or just in general life?
No,
you've
dude,
never
I
felt more patriotic.
I've never, my adult life, because
in your adult life,
I'm old enough to say, hey, I was around for 9/11.
Yeah.
I know that stuff. Like, I felt
post 9/11 was everybody was very patriotic.
The first pitch, the World Series, the Super Bowl, all of that
the
stuff.
People
that
who
year.
Did this are going to hear from us.
The bombing of Iraq. Yeah. Like, I remember that time.
Sure, sure.
In my adult life, so 18 to where I'm at now at 37, I don't mean to say that I've never been proud of being American, but it doesn't register on a day-to-day thing to me. I just live my life.
Yeah.
And yesterday is the most patriotic I have ever felt.
I was wondering why your hybrid had a flag hanging off the back of it when I pulled in this morning. Now it makes sense. You're flag guy now. Look at you, just flapping in the breeze. I was like, is that a hybrid with giant American flag hanging out the
first
back
of all,
window?
It's all electric.
Yeah. It's all electric.
That's true. Touche. All electric car with a big American flag. You're like an oxymoron.
It's a Toyota car.
It doesn't make it. It's not an American car.
It's an American built. Is that an American Toyota factory?
I think it is, actually, yeah.
Okay, sure. Why not? Let's
I'll look
run
that
that one probably not, but let's run with that one anyways.
A lot of those Nissans are built in Tennessee.
Yeah, you got me thinking now. I'm trying to rack my brain of like a moment, because I think this has to just be a sports conversation, because we've all had our moments in other, whether it's a current event, a national story, or whatever. Like, we felt patriotic.
No,
I'm
legitimately telling you,
this is the top of the top of everything for you,
and sports is the reason I felt it. But like every 4th of July, I wear a USA, Team USA, Diana Taurasi jersey.
Eat a bunch of hot dogs.
I eat the hot dogs. We do the fireworks. I have, the flag, all that stuff. Like, I'm participating.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not, like, thinking or feeling anything.
Okay.
And I mean no disrespect here. I'm being serious. I don't know if I felt it ever. Like, I felt it yesterday.
I think the only athletic event that I could put over yesterday is probably, what year was Sochi? What year was that? 2018? Does that sound right? 16?
Somewhere in there.
Whenever that was, when we went in and won the gold medal in hockey.
I couldn't have told you for $1 million.
TJ Oshie scoring in the shootout against Russia, if I remember correctly, and like shutting everybody up on enemy soil. Yes.
Okay.
That one probably, because I wasn't alive for Miracle on Ice.
See, that nothing will ever top that.
Do you believe in miracles?
The greatest is that wasn't a gold medal game.
No, that was the semifinals.
It was a semifinal.
It was, and then they had to go win the gold medal.
I think it was Finland, if memory serves.
Do you guys see what I'm saying? Like, do you understand? Like, I'm not kidding when I tell you, and we'll get to the Team USA stuff, but like, I'm on my couch literally gripping as if it was game 7 2016 Golden State Cleveland
3-1 comeback.
I'm pissed. I'm screaming at Steve Kerr. I'm feeling all kinds of Ibrahimovic, another three, and I'm like, I hate this guy. And we come back, we pull it out, and I'm like, USA, that's why we're the greatest. Like, I was feeling it, and I don't, Swag, you're a little older. When have you felt?
Well, Miracle on Ice was.
Okay, so
1980.
Okay,
there was that.
1980, he felt it.
Probably, when the U.S. women won the first World Cup and Brandi Chastain in the shirt. And
it's a great one.
What was that, 94?
99.
99. 99. That was 99.
Yeah. I was a child, though. Yeah. You know, and I felt that. That was cool. I didn't. But I don't know. As an adult, that was my first, like, whoa.
It's happening.
It's coming out of me. I'm an American.
You're a Wolverine, man. The moon is out right now.
I just don't think about this.
No, considering what was going on in 1980, you had the hostage crisis, there was gas shortages, there was inflation, there was all sorts of, and the Soviet Union was this
evil empire.
Big evil empire.
Totally get it.
Yeah.
One alive.
Yeah, outside of that,
I mean, as an adult, so for you, Sochi,
I got hockey. That's
do you have a non-sports one?
I mean, listener texted this in when we killed Bin Laden when that was announced and that went viral. I will never forget that night, and then the scenes of baseball because it happened in early summer, I want to say, and the scenes of people realizing it at baseball games because it popped up on your phone.
What year was that? What year did we kill him?
2010.
Yeah. Okay. So I was in college. I'll be fully transparent with you.
I remember Obama's press conference coming to the.
And then all the baseball ballparks just randomly across the country, they always all started chanting USA, like just randomly. And I think players were on the field, like, what's happening? What's
going on? The Rock was the one that announced it, didn't he?
He did. 2011. May 2nd, 2011.
Okay. So
was
May
2nd.
Yeah, he sent out the tweet, and everybody was trying to figure out what he was talking about.
So here's a fun fact about that. So that's around the time my oldest was conceived, and I was just finishing college. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing, and the image of Obama, and who was Clinton in that photo, when they're just like leaning forward, the still image.
Watching the SEAL Team 6.
Watching it unfold. Like, I do remember that, but like at that point in my life, I remember just going, that's badass, and I moved on to the next thing. Like, I was not at a point where that was registering the way maybe it should have for me.
I got a newborn. I got a little preoccupied right now.
Boy, I'll tell you, that's a pretty damn good one they texted.
That one is tough to beat.
Yeah.
I'll never forget, I was at dinner, I was still in Eugene, and I was at dinner with some friends, and it just started popping up on everybody's phones, and it's just like, oh my God, I can't, because you kind of stop thinking about it, because that was 10 years
It took
9/11.
A long time to find that bastard.
It was one of those you just kind of out of sight, out of mind, and then just out of left field, completely out of left field with no indication of like, hey, we got him. Oh, we got him. And then everybody felt very patriotic for a while.
Sure. That's a good one.
So that's the only one non-sports that I would easily put atop the list, just in my lifetime at least. Post 9/11, definitely in the category as well. That was a kumbaya moment, maybe the only one in my entire life in this country, where we all seemingly came together for a short period of time that didn't last very long, but we had a few months there post 9/11 that we were all together as one.
Yeah, maybe the last time that happened for us.
Yep, I think it is, and probably the last time it ever will happen.
Yeah.
Sports-wise, all I can give you Sochi. That's it. That's all I can give you. Because yesterday there was the fear of like, oh my God.
They might bronze.
Jokic is going to do this? Really? Even though he wasn't like the, you know, it's like this is
Bogdanovich.
Image of Bogdanovich going 3 to the dome to Melo sitting courtside.
And there's an element of that Mello, that's like the basketball version of me is like, I love it. I probably would be doing the same thing if I could. But I hate this man. I didn't see if they did it. They gave him some love in the post game. I wanted Braun to do 3 to the dome after beating them. Like, kind of doing it at the bench and then going and dapping up his boy Melo. And he dapped up Melo, but like,
he did,
I kind of want, or Steph doing, somebody doing it back once we took the lead of like, oh no, you don't. This is the American to the dome.
This
you know what I mean?
We do, bitch. This
we
is
are
how we
guns.
Roll.
You do not put guns to your head the way we do.
Olympic Melo. Remember when we were getting Olympic Melo? Can we get Olympic Melo or are we going to get New York Knick Melo? What Melo are we going to get?
We got Olympic Coach Melo and he probably saved our team because our current head coach sucked yesterday.
It is funny.
He was so bad yesterday.
Having the ability to be able to root for and enjoy guys that you usually despise, maybe too strong of a word, but you root against in their normal NBA career, having them be on a team that you're like pulling for, a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Who do you root against on our team?
I mean, I'm not a big Kevin Durant guy. I'm not actively rooting for Kevin Durant. I don't ever root for the Golden State Warriors, and I don't root for them to win anything. So having Steph do that for a team that I'm like, yes, this is fun. This must have been really cool for the last decade, Golden State.
I will say this. I also, on my patriotism just exploding through my eyeballs yesterday, I also made the vow that I will never criticize KD again. I'm like, nope, you got it, bud. I'm in.
Oh,
you,
no, his the
you
first
helped
game.
Save us. I'm in.
Give the him first 2 weeks into the season until he demands a trade. We're going to be like, this guy's a bitch. He's always running from the grind. Doesn't have real titles.
If you just stay off social media and don't get wrapped up in his nonsense and just watch him play.
So that game ended. It was close to midnight when these guys are doing their post game, eating their. He was on the internet at 5 a.m. Paris time responding. responding to people.
That's the part I don't get. What are you doing?
Well, some people find that and say, greatest internet troll of all time. The posting that Kevin Durant does and just shuts people up is amazing.
One of our YouTube commenters saying the moon landing being that.
See, that's...
But that's before my lifetime. That was 1969.
1969.
Nice.
Good year.
I really hated they made a movie mocking the idea that we didn't really land on the moon.
That we filmed it just in case we didn't make it, right? Isn't that the basis of the movie?
I think so. Yeah. I think it really tanked in the box office, which kind of made me happy. Yeah. No offense to Scarlett Johansson and Channing Tatum. I'm like, dude, screw you guys. Go away.
Let's not throw more fuel on the old conspiracy
theory. The age of conspiracy is right now, and you guys are making this movie. Get out of here.
Why don't we make a movie and make everybody think that the moon landing
another Alien Area 51 movie.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
That's a great mystery and myth.
Give me Independence Day 3. Let's just do that.
Yes, right? They're back again.
Don't screw with the moon landing.
Well, we have a lot to get to today. We'll dive further into the actual game. I wanted to share my patriotism.
That's good. USA.
It was loud and proud yesterday.
USA. It was. USA.
All right. Well, spray the line today, so get the spray the line sponsors in. We've got all kinds of things to hit on. We've got football. We got baseball. We got the basketball. We're going to go to LSU for the Daily Ticker, number 21, the LSU
Tiger. Go Tiger.
Go Tiger.
Go Tiger.
Go Tiger.
Go Tigers.
We got some fun audio to get to today. It's going to be a loaded show and a lot of fun. Thanks for hanging with us on YouTube, the Odyssey app, 1080 The Fan. Let's get it going next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
One thing I'd add, too, and then we'll move on to the football. I think part of the reason I felt it so strongly, even though we were favorites that were looking like we were going to bronze our ass into the Olympics.
What was the line in that game?
16.
16.
It's pretty high.
I lost money on them the first game of the Olympics. I bet Serbia to cover the...
Plus 12 and a half, 14, yeah, whatever it was.
Somewhere in that range, and that did not happen.
You can certainly say, like, oh, man, that's a little too close for comfort. Serbia's got a couple NBA guys, but come on. Very fair. I think the other reason I felt so patriotic is there is, and this is what I hate. This is why I don't dive into this stuff. There, it's a small portion, for sure. It's a small, tiny percentage, a blip. But there's a blip that exists that's like openly rooting for us to lose so they can dance all over our team's grave. And I just find that to be such odd. I saw it. I was on our show Twitter account a little bit. And I saw it as they were down. Oh, I thought the king was going to save us. Oh, L'America, huh? And I'm just like,
L'America? We're doing that one?
The hatred for our athletes, if they don't fundamentally agree with your political views, it just has corrupted us. That go on and root against our own. Like, Noah Lyles had this. I was bummed that he lost. He guaranteed he'd win. We didn't know he had COVID.
Yeah, I didn't know.
I was shocked to see him bronze. But there's a portion of the internet, like, wanted him to lose his events because he dare say, NBA champs are not world champs.
Right.
It's like, oh, so we hate him? I actually despise that portion of society that is openly waiting for our athletes to fail because they don't like them, because, oh my God, they don't agree with my politics.
Sure, they have a different opinion on something.
I just find that whole portion of person to be very odd. And I think I grew with my patriotism yesterday because it was a little bit of, why don't you shut up too? Why don't you sit down and shut the Serbians shut up and you shut up.
You're telling multiple people to shut up at the same
time.
It's a powerful thing to have happen. I have discovered throughout the course of the Olympics that for my mentals, it is very helpful to unplug from the matrix because there have been so many. I can't even begin to count the number of culture wars that we have had. And the Olympics have been going on for the better part of 2 weeks. And there's just starting with the opening ceremonies and the outrage, and we're going to boycott.
And it's fake outrage.
There's billions of, like, there's no boycott. The ratings are as high as, or if not higher than they've
ever been. Nobody cares.
Everybody is watching the Olympics. And so that's not an actual thing. And it's just one thing after another has led to this like online culture war that's not real life. So I have found myself, I think a little bit of my disdain's not the right word, but a little bit of my turnoff of the Olympics was that right out of the gate of like, oh God, can we just have one event? That's not people yelling at each other about what was the symbolism of this and what message were they trying? Like, dude, it's France. It's their opening. I don't know what the hell they were trying to do. Who cares? If you don't like the opening ceremony, don't watch the opening ceremony. Are you going to support the country or not? As I've unplugged more from the matrix, I have found myself enjoying more of the Olympics.
We'll get into some Olympic stuff. The football was quite terrible yesterday.
What are you talking about, brother? What are you, crazy? Joe Milton running all over people? Highlight of the night.
Did you hang around long enough to watch Joe Milton? Because I turned it off well before Joe Milton. I was done with that game.
It was on my TV.
That
was I watching
was
closely?
Terrible.
No, but was it still on my television? Yes, it was.
They covered the line.
I did. They did cover. You're damn right they did.
Also, I didn't know Jake Luton was a Panther until yesterday in pregame.
I knew that because Johnny Hecker sent out a tweet, I think, was like, hey, we got another beef in the house.
That's pretty cool.
Got the power of Luton in Carolina.
Drake May played basically not at all.
One series.
That screen pass he threw, though. Woo, 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 buddy. Panties getting tight over there.
So tight. Screen pass.
It was sick, dude. He went, let the D-line get after him a little bit. Delayed. Wait.
Panties getting
nice
tight.
Little dump over the top of the D-line.
Let me ask you
a little
this.
10-yard completion. Catch the fever.
I didn't see the Lions game. I saw neighbors got no targets because Drew Lock is just atrocious.
Yeah, Drew Lock missed him like wide open.
I guess
open.
He was open like six times and they just didn't even throw him the football.
Drew Lock is so bad. He threw such a bad interception in that game.
Keep rapping young Jeezy on the sideline, though. Hinton Hooker had a nice play. Bulldozed the linebacker.
Running people over, man.
I'm rooting for Hinton Hooker. I like Hooker.
I am too. The way his year ended, his last year at Tennessee, was brutal. They had that great year.
He had a dream season.
He tore his ACL or whatever with like two games to go in the season, and it threw him off for his rookie year.
So I didn't see the Lions stuff. Even though on my YouTube TV, there's two NFL networks and both games showed up.
You don't get access to it. I tried that too.
Oh, you did? I didn't try.
I was surprised.
It.
So I was like, hey, I didn't think I could watch Detroit, New York. And I clicked on it and it said blacked out in your mark.
Okay.
So I think you just get whatever game is meant for your area. Why that was Panthers and Pats, I'm not sure. But it showed up, but I couldn't watch it.
The only thing I saw from the Detroit game was our friend Mark Ryan, who works in Detroit now, tweeted this. Dan Campbell needs to learn from that, and yet it doesn't seem he is. There's a difference between being aggressive and reckless. going for a fourth and one from your own 37 in the first freaking half is reckless. He got ratioed. He responded, "You don't think I don't know it's preseason? Reckless is reckless. Practice is not being reckless."
I bet he's a big Dan Lanning fan.
Yeah, that's about all I saw from the Lion action. Are they in Boston this morning? I should have listened to EEI coming in. Do you think in Boston they are already having a little bit of...
Yes, yes.
Is our sixth-round quarterback actually better than our first-round draft pick?
He had the highlight where he scrambled around, picked up a first down, somehow extended the play, and then the touchdown pass that he threw was vintage Joe Milton that looked like it was about 137 miles an hour. It was a frozen rope, like 40 yards down the field, and you're like, there's that arm strength. That's why people have been salivating over Joel Milton for the last 10 years.
I stuck around enough to see Drake May, and then when Zappy kind of got in, I gave him a series, and that's about when I just changed the channel or stopped caring about the game.
I don't know why Bailey Zappy played. They know what Bailey Zappy is.
He should that's be their starting point. Quarterback. I got Zappy fever.
I mean, yeah, it's a good point that they should have just played Joe Milton all those snaps.
I tend to agree with all of the points you guys are making, but I did laugh because I saw the Joe Milton touchdown highlight. And I know everybody's freaking out today. He's got the big cannon. He's had a good camp, reportedly.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched that pass and I went, do you think if Drake May was in on that play, he also wouldn't have made that throw? That dude
wide
was
open. Wide.
That was clearly a busted coverage or a great route run.
Yeah.
You don't think Drake May could have made that throw?
I think he probably could have. I think this is an organization and a fan base that is looking for an identity, man. They're looking for somebody to wrap their arms around. They were blessed for two decades to have the greatest of all time be their quarterback.
Yeah.
And since he left, it has not been pretty, and it has not been fun. And
MJ10 didn't last very long,
did not last very. The next Tom Brady out of Alabama did not last very long there. And so they are desperate for anybody to give them hope. So to answer your question, yes, I guarantee you on WEEI this morning, they are calling in.
What's up, boy? This is what I
got to
say today.
Joe Milton should be the starting quarterback. He looks so good, guys. He ran in a touchdown.
Drake
he threw a
May's
touchdown.
Got a noodle arm.
He's only throwing bomb. Screen passes. That's all he can do.
May's a bomb.
I guarantee you they're freaking out today. Of course they are.
Who will be the worst team in the NFL this year? Will it be the Giants? Will it be the Panthers? Or will it be the Patriots? Or do you have a...
surprise team?
Surprising other. Because injuries will change this, certainly, but... I was wondering if three of those four teams playing last night are going to be one of the worst teams. The Giants have the stench on them. They certainly have the stench on them. Burns, Kayvon, great pass rush, for sure. Neighbor's going to be a good player, but they got Daniel Jones. I don't know what they're doing. You know, there's a stench on them. The Panthers, I think, are going to be awful. The Patriots, eh.
I think the Patriots have a chance to be...
just god-awful.
God-awful.
Yeah. And especially not getting Ayuk, and you're still asking the question of weapons, and I know Polk is, they're high on him, but it's a rookie, and you have a rookie quarterback
who's throwing
and you have a rookie head coach trying to follow the legend.
Will be the worst team in the NFL? If you had to guess, is it one of those three, or is there a team I'm not mentioning?
I think Tennessee has an outside shot at it.
A good one.
And I think Vegas has an outside shot at it.
Really?
I do.
Is Vegas going to be the worst team in their division? Because I don't know how to parse them out from Denver.
Yeah, I guess that'll come down to your faith in a rookie quarterback in Bo Nix or Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell.
It's going to be Stidham maybe at the start of that thing, we'll see.
Or Jared Stidham. And I also would throw the Commies in there. I know that they're excited about their new quarterback, and I get it.
I can't wait to watch him.
I can't either. He's going to play this weekend.
And rave reviews coming in.
Rookie, he actually has targets to throw
to. He does. Though. That's not a bad situation. And his coach at least was, I know, prior to the playoff game, pretty well-respected DC.
He absolutely was.
So if the defense can get its ass together, he's got some targets there.
I'm just not super high on him, and I think rookie quarterbacks tend to struggle, and so I wouldn't be shocked at all if they're in that category. But right now, if I'm putting money on a team, it would probably be the Pats.
It'd be the Pats?
Just because, not really any logical reason. They just beat the Panthers, who the other team is in that running, but the Panthers also didn't play their quarterbacks in New England, at least played their quarterbacks.
Okay. So you guys are both seeing the Patriots.
I think we can put this up as a poll question. Pats and Panthers definitely have to be candidates.
I think the Titans is a sneaky good one, too. They kind of have a...
new coach, Will Levis. Like, what are we doing? He's got a hot girlfriend.
Yeah, they've had some injuries happen to them.
DeAndre Hopkins, that's going to be your savior. He's already banged up.
Is he going to be there all year? I don't know.
Yeah, I think the Titans are a sleeper pick.
Is there a fourth, or should we just say other?
I think you go other.
Okay.
I think you go other. Because some people might say, well, the Giants are, you know, they could have a pulse if Daniel Jones stays healthy.
You can
whatever.
Make an argument for a lot of teams, I think. Plus, injuries always change.
I think the Giants' defense will allow their losses to not look so egregious. Like, they'll be able to keep them hanging around.
See, that's the thing. The Giants are the commies'
worst
team in the division.
I think the Patriots can get run over 15 weeks out of their schedule.
Boy.
They're going to knock somebody out of a survivor pool.
They for sure
are. We are going to hate them. They're going to beat like Buffalo in week 7, and we're going to snap our TVs
rain.
Off of our walls and break them in half.
All right. The NFL preseason sucked. We got audio to get to in the NFL. We'll get to that. Let's pause real quick. A couple Olympic notes. We'll get to that coming up next. Well, the thing I think we all can agree on in this country that we hate... showed its ugly little face yesterday. The vid.
Oh, the COVID. The vid is back.
The COVID was back.
Vid is back with a bang.
Ruining Noah Lyles' chance to win the 200 meters. He guaranteed he would win that after he narrowly won the 100 meters. He was interviewed and he was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to win that thing. And we didn't know, but he got COVID on Tuesday.
He did.
Isolated himself. Came out. Typical Noah Lyles fashion before the race, was jumping up and down.
Running around to the music.
Just looking great. Got all the swagger. And then that little gun went off.
Pew!
And he lagged behind. He finished with a bronze, but he had COVID.
Now we're back debating COVID.
What do you mean?
Is it real? Is it a thing? Should he be competing? He's putting himself and the other athletes at risk.
I don't think anybody said, is that a takeaway? Did I miss that?
I logged into the Matrix last night, and this was on the Matrix, and then I re-logged out. I'm out.
But he isolated himself.
He did. It's not a big deal to me. He's going to be perfectly fine. I'm sure all the other athletes will be perfectly fine. And it was just a bummer that derailed after a guarantee. I don't know if he wins, if he's not COVID, sick with COVID. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't.
Seemed pretty impacted post-race.
Did a little bit, so it was a bummer because he is one of the most polarizing and talked about and interesting American athletes that we have right now. He will get you to watch and follow and pay attention whether you're rooting for him or rooting against him. And to have maybe the outcome impacted by that, it sucked. It was a bummer for his Olympics to come to an end that way.
He also announced he's done. That COVID's
not running again?
He's done with the Olympics. Yeah. He said, unfortunately for me, this is impacting me too much, and this is it for my Olympics, not the Olympics I dreamed of.
Yeah, he got one gold medal
but
at least.
But he got a gold medal. Yeah. I mean, look, he's a kind of polarizing athlete in the he's just loud and out, and he'll tell you anything he thinks.
Yeah.
Sometimes people hate that, and sometimes people agree with what you say. I'm just glad he got a gold.
Yeah.
And it is impressive. If COVID was impacting the way it looked like it impacted post-race, that's a pretty impressive bronze medal.
It really was. And it was to see him still have all that energy and excitement before the race, kind of getting everybody hyped up. Like, he's the main draw right now in the 100 meters. I don't follow track and field that closely, but I imagine with all of his outlandish takes and the confidence that he brings, he's the biggest draw right now. And so it's just, at least he was still able to run and compete in the race. It just sucks that it's impacted by that.
The guy who won the race from Africa, hold on, the 200 meter race. Do you know his name? His name is escaping me.
His name
is it Tobogo?
Yes.
Tobogo. He was interviewed on the podium, and it was him and the other American who got silver, who beat...
Bednarik? Something like that.
Something, yes. This is the Olympics you get. This is the Olympic coverage. Are we not most of America at this point? You know that guy? His
that
name?
One guy. That guy was good. What's his name? He was really good in that event, man.
Tobogo
was awesome
was post-race.
Tobogo, big Tobogo fan. I got his jersey in my house.
He was pretty impressive. You got a singlet at your house?
I got a Tobogo singlet. I wear it.
Kenneth Bednarik was the silver medalist.
They call him, what do they call him? The Kung Fu Master, because he wears the bandana.
Yeah.
Anyways, the winner was interviewed post-race and was like, do you think you could be the face of track, or is Noah the face of track? And he basically said, I'm not arrogant and I don't talk enough. Yeah. Noah Lyles is definitely the face of our sport.
You got to be irrationally cocky and confident to be the face of that sport, man.
Let's see it to Bogo from Botswana.
That was a good story. It's a great story.
He was the guy that took home the gold medal. Yeah. He was the gold medal winner.
Like, never in doubt either. As soon as that gun went off, he was at the front of the pack, nobody got close to him.
That's pretty badass. I still miss Usain Bolt with those events. Even though they weren't really ever competitive, when he ran, he was so much better than everybody else. They were blowouts.
So big, too. Yeah.
There was just something about watching him run and watching his dominance.
There was
that
about,
you were still in awe. Yeah. Even though it wasn't a nose finish, it was like, oh my God, he's like 15 feet ahead of everybody
Michael Johnson and his gold spikes back in the day.
Yeah, that
was fantastic.
They clocked him, Michael Johnson. I'll always remember this because I don't know if somebody's beaten Michael Johnson's speed time. Somebody probably has, but he ran 26 miles per hour in one of his Olympic races.
That is bananas.
That is insane to me. He ran the school zone. He's getting a ticket in the neighborhood.
Why has nobody gone gold shoes since then? Do people go gold shoes? Is that like you pay homage to him, or is that disrespectful to him?
Well, Nike downtown store, they were there.
Yeah.
The gold shoes were there.
They were in downtown Portland at the Nike store.
It was badass every time I
went
in there.
Probably back on campus somewhere.
Oh, they should be. I mean, man, those were so cool.
Those were iconic. Those were maybe the most iconic.
I mean, there
thing
was still nothing like
history.
the Carl Lewis Ben Johnson stuff.
Mm. Is it nuts to you that when we talked about the 100-meter, that the last place runner in the 100-meter race this year would have beaten Carl Lewis in 88? Is that crazy to say?
That is wild to say. I had another one of those. I saw this pop up yesterday that the three best players, arguably, on Team USA's basketball team right now, LeBron, Steph, and Kevin Durant, I believe is who this tweet was referring to,
yes,
are all older than anybody on the original Dream Team.
Yeah, they're all older
at this point in their lives.
At this point in their careers, they're older than anybody that played on the Dream Team.
Was Magic the oldest one on that team?
Larry. Magic and Bird would have been.
Larry barely.
But Larry broke down.
His back was all messed up.
At that point, the way he was playing, he looked like he was 47 years old, but he wasn't that old.
I think he retired at 34.
Yes, very young.
I'd have to go
and that
look
was
at
like
that.
3 years after that,
well,
or
Magic
2 years after that.
Retired and came back like several times.
Magic was kind of forced out for obvious reasons. Larry, I think, was 34. So just think about that. We'll get to the Team USA stuff at the top of the hour. Think about that for a second. And it's not, I don't need to annoy you guys, but it's just crazy to think of what Larry was in the Dream Team era. LeBron is 5 years older than him.
Yeah, he was 34 years old for that Olympics.
That's crazy. And he looked like he was 42.
He was like a shell of himself at that point. He still had a couple of nice highlights, but he was not the same player that he was. And that tweet, it shouldn't have blown my mind, but then I started thinking, like, that is bananas.
Yeah.
And I think it was just because of the visuals you had of Larry and obviously Magic and his career coming to an end at that point, that you just assumed that they were older than that. But the three best players on this year's team, older than anybody on the Dream Team.
I talked about this with Russ yesterday post show of just, it's funny to find photos of people that are your age and what they looked like when they were your age. So the actor, I forget his name already, Russ told me yesterday, George Jefferson, Sherman
Hemsley.
Thank you. I saw a photo on Instagram a week ago during the weekend and it said this was Sherman Hemsley at 37. And he had the Costanza, the mustache,
balding.
You looked at it and you went, that guy is 47 at minimum. I'm like, the same age as that guy.
He was moving on up, baby.
But like, I'm the same. I am 37.
We've aged a little bit differently in modern culture.
It's just nuts to see that.
And athletes and the longevity that these guys have in their careers now is bananas, and they're taking advantage of it, man. LeBron having a triple-double in that game and just being the player that he is, he's 40 years old. It doesn't make sense.
You can argue about MVP stuff all you want. He's probably going to win the tournament MVP.
Yes.
I mean, he has to have just an abysmal game against France to not lock that thing up.
He's 40 years old.
I want to give the flowers to Sydney McLaughlin Lavron.
Yes.
Is that how you say it? She dominated the 400 hurdles.
Mm.
And it was her between her and Mickey Mouse.
Oh, Mickey Mouse was going for a
goal? She was going against Mickey Mouse in this thing.
Damn it, Mickey Mouse didn't win.
And she not only beat Mickey Mouse dirt, I don't know if you missed this, she smoked the field. She broke her own world record.
That's bananas. Yes.
So it was awesome to watch that event.
Yeah, that there was supposed to be a big going on with the Dutch lady.
Yeah.
And
she couldn't quite pull it off.
She was nowhere to be found.
Couldn't quite do it. USA. All the way.
Oh, I love the Olympics.
I feel like the Olympics allow us to kind of make fun of it.
Yeah, they definitely do.
It's like our one time where you can kind of be shielded from anything. You're yes. like, yeah, I'm going to make fun of this.
It's also, it reminds me, it's like a worldwide version of the NCAA tournament. It's like the time of year, like that for that 1 month a year, we all pretend that we love college basketball and we know college basketball and we watch yeah. it. This is the every 4 years we get this moment where we pretend to know about track and field names and events and how this athlete is done. And we're like, hey, yeah, we're all in. We've been following this for years. I've never heard any of these people.
I'm not pretending. I'm openly saying, what's that dude's name? What's her name? Man, that was awesome.
Can you believe this guy did that? It's like, nah, I can't really.
I also think, final note on the Olympics, I think I found the hardest sport in the Olympics. You can make an argument for a lot, and we talked about this earlier this week.
Greco-Roman wrestling?
No.
Oh.
What is it called? The water aerobics, where they perform?
Artistic swimming.
Dude. Did you watch any of the artistic swimming?
I cannot say that I've seen any artistic swimming. Do I need did. To check out
they
the artistic swimming?
They used to call it synchronized swimming.
Synchronized swimming.
Now
yeah.
it's artistic swimming.
Like the USA group was literally mimicking like a Van Gogh painting with their performance.
Yeah. What?
If you go watch this, if you watch anything
just
like a movie.
The caddies, caddy day in the pool. At yeah. caddy
if you go watch a movie. Where somebody is stuck in a coffin and it gives you like, you know, you're feeling what that is, even though it's not you, you're watching it. That's what this did to me.
That feeling. Huh?
These people are underwater and they're upside down and they're just dancing as they're hoisting their teammate
holding
underwater.
Their breaths for minutes.
And I'm just, how? I'm panicking watching this and they're just out there and they're still smiling and their makeup's on all pretty and. Man,
this
underrated.
This is some weird stuff.
It's crazy.
Legit, we're just dancing in the pool, man.
Yeah.
And everybody's holding each other up. That's yeah. wild.
It's been fun to follow it all. let's get to some audio. Knick-knack, paddywhack, we're giving dogs bones.
Damn right we are.
Next on The Fan. We will talk about the USA win over Serbia. They move on to the gold medal game against France. On Kobe Bryant Day, 8-10-24.
8-10-24, we take down the hometown team.
Be pretty dope.
Bring it on, Wimby.
We'll get to that coming up at the top of the hour. We'll go to LSU. Shea Dixon's going to join us. He's on three.
Bengal Tiger.
Go Tiger.
Go Tiger.
They're number 21 in the top 25 dirty poll.
Interesting year for them. Year three for Brian Kelly.
Seems massive.
Heisman Trophy last year. Yep. The coach is like, hey, calm down, everybody. We're not going to be that good.
Yep.
But they expect them to be good every year. Interesting year for LSU.
We will spray the line at 8:30, and we have a lot more to get into. Jameis Winston.
Good old Jameis Winston.
J-Mo.
Until this happened yesterday, I don't know if I could have told you where he was. I forgot that signing over the offseason.
Well, I knew he was not in New Orleans.
I knew that.
And I just couldn't remember the team. And largely like you, I had forgotten. Jameis Winston is a Cleveland Brown.
Yes, he might end up playing a decent chunk of the year.
Well, I want to get into that, but let's let's play this. This is from his press conference yesterday. He was asked about Deshaun Watson. Will Deshaun Watson be ready and be able to perform at the top of his height, of his level, of his skill level? And this was Jameis's answer.
I think that's one of the things that a lot of people forget. When you can go out, you can see practice, you can knick-knack this, that, paddywhack, give a dog a bone. Deshaun Watson is going to turn it on. He always going to find a way to shine when the lights come on. Man, I just rhymed. Oh my, can I leave off that one? I know that one's going to hit. Knick-knack this, that, paddywhack, give a dog a bone. Knick-knack this, that, paddywhack, give a dog a bone.
He is the most unintentionally funny athlete of all time. Like, I don't think he means to do this. Like, he doesn't cook this up. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's doing this for on purpose. Like, I'm cooking this up before my interview. I'm going to say knick-knack, paddywhack, give a dog a bone. He just, this comes out of his mouth at the podium. And he's the most unintentionally funny athlete we've ever had.
But he's rooting against Deshaun Watson.
He definitely is. And it's also absolute horse-ass. When the lights come on, he performs. His 7 touchdowns and 4 picks last year. His 60% completion percentage.
How many games did he play?
Watson.
6.
God. Well, technically five. He was 1 of 5 against the Colts. That might have been the game he got hurt. 1 of 5 for 5 yards and a pick, dude. And then he left that game. He played and started, or basically played 5 full games, and did not go over 289 passing yards. He went 289, 235, 219, 213,
yuck,
154 in a win in the opener against the Bengals.
It's probably a good thing you and I don't do a show in Cleveland. I listen to Cleveland's morning show. I think it's quite good, and every time I listen, they're talking about Ayuk trade stuff, what Stefanski's going to do. Hey, how about this defense? Are we concerned about the... And they do, again, they do a great job. I would be beating the Deshaun Watson, is he actually going to be a competent starting quarterback? I would be doing that to death, because how is that not the only big story for the Cleveland Browns? You can question depth on the line positions. You can question secondary,
yep,
receiver play, Cooper, age, contract, Chubb coming off the injury. How it's not only about Deshaun Watson is remarkable to me, and people would probably hate our show in Cleveland because we'd be like,
every day,
hey man, this guy's literally shown us nothing, and
stealing
he has
money,
the biggest contract of guaranteed money ever in league history. But yeah, let's talk about all the other things, because if he doesn't work out, guess who we turn to? Jameis Winston.
In 2 years as the Browns starting quarterback, he has started a total of 12 games.
That is beyond concerning.
He has thrown 14 touchdowns and 9 interceptions.
Yuck.
In 12 games. In year one, he completed 58% of his passes.
Disgusting.
In year two, he completed 61% of his passes. So he's about 59-60% completion percentage, barely a touchdown a game, almost a pick a game, and he's only started 12 games in 2 years.
If this was 2003, that completion percentage is acceptable. It's not. We know football now, and that is disgusting.
I mean, I remember having a comment earlier this summer where I was joking about Daniel Jones' contract and saying it's one of the worst I've ever seen in the NFL, to which listeners immediately pointed out, rightfully so,
yeah,
it doesn't even hold a candle to the fart of Deshaun Watson's contract,
yep,
man. This is the worst contract we've ever seen, and if you're a Cleveland fan, there's just got to be an internal panic of, like, what do we have to do?
They don't seem panicked. I'm listening every day, and they're
give
just like,
I month.
Think we're going to be really good. And
you give them a month of him playing like crap, because I don't know how you can try and draw the conclusion that all of a sudden this is going to figure itself out. Like, if you wanted to sell me year one, hey, he was rusty, he didn't play for like 2 years.
A lot off the field.
All right, a lot off the field stuff he's dealing with. He's going to be rusty. Okay, fine. He struggled that year. To then have it basically follow through last year and to have him do nothing. They won some games with him doing nothing and then made the playoffs with Joe Flacco, a quarterback. He is the only question mark that I feel like that football team has. You can get caught up in Brandon Ayuk and all the other crap. He's the issue. And if he doesn't play well, they're going to turn to Jameis Winston at some point this season. They opened the year with the Cowboys and the Jags in the first 2 weeks. So you're not panicking now. You lose to the Cowboys in week one, you go down to Jacksonville and you lose in week two, and he throws like 4 picks in the first 2 weeks of the season, there will be an absolute panic in Cleveland. And I don't know how you're not already there, because he has been terrible 2 years into that deal, and he's stealing money from that organization.
Knick-knack, this, that, paddywhack, give a dog a bone.
We'll see what happens. Loaded second hour, USA beat Serbia yesterday in a big comeback. We'll talk about that. We'll go to LSU for the ticker. Crunch time around the corner. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.